Good morning. I love when we have readings like this. You hear, the world's going to be destroyed, you're going to be persecuted, and I say the word of the Lord, and everyone says, thanks be to God. I love the juxtaposition there. But we are thankful. We're thankful for the Lord to give us insight into the reality of things. And sometimes that insight isn't always peachy keen and fuzzy and soft. Sometimes that reality stings a little bit. But the gift of it is that it's true. And there's only freedom in truth. If you recall from last Sunday, I mentioned that as we're coming to the end of the liturgical season, that the church readings begin to focus on the end of the times, about judgment, heaven and hell, and what there will be in the future for you and I. Now, if you remember, I said, at the end of the day, God sends nobody to heaven or to hell. Rather, our destiny is our choice, that we choose heaven. We choose hell. And the choice is wrapped up in a nice little box called your life. That is how you live your life. The choices you make, which are all wrapped up and presented before the Lord. And that is your response to His unending invitation. God wants us to be with Him. He waits for our response. Now, I think that poses a question. Who in their right mind would ever choose hell? Who in their right mind, if you think about it, you close your eyes in death, suddenly you see the array of the glory of heaven before your eyes? Who then would ever choose hell? I think the readings for this weekend kind of give us an insight. Listen again to that first reading. Lo, the day is coming, blazing like an oven, when all the proud and evildoers will be stubble, and the day that is coming will set them on fire, leaving them neither root nor branch, says the Lord of hosts. But for you who fear my name, there will arise the Son of Justice with its healing rays. In this one scene, one reality is taking place. The end of the time, the coming of the Lord. But two experiences are felt. For one, the coming of our Lord is felt like a blazing furnace, something that burns them, reduces them to stubble. For the other, the same truth, the same reality is felt like healing rays coming from the Son of Justice. This weekend, we've seen the first snowflakes come fluttering down upon the sky. And I'm sure for all the young kids out there, that first sight of those snowflakes was sheer delight. I remember when I was a little kid and I first saw the snow falling, looking out the window, peering at it. It just erupted within my heart, just excitement for the snow that's going to come and the beautiful white winter that was going to become the next 3 months of my reality. I'm sure that same event, for many of you, you saw those first snowflakes coming down and you're like, oh boy, here it comes again. The next 3 months, 4 months, will be a winter wonderland of heaven for the kids. For many of us, it will be hell. You see how the same truth, a same reality, can produce within our hearts very opposite experiences. And I think this is why when we come to the point of our death, when heaven is placed before us, there will be radical different experiences of the heart, even though the same truth is placed before our eyes. Last week I shared with you words from God given to St. Catherine of Siena about the end of the world. And I want to continue with the words that the Father says to her, because he speaks about this reality, about how we have a different perspective of who God is because of how we live. This is private revelation that was given to St. Catherine of Siena, either in locutions, which means she had an inner voice of Jesus speaking to her, or God the Father literally came and appeared before her. Anyways, he has this to say. These souls who die in friendship with the Lord wait for divine judgment with gladness, not fear. The face of my Son will appear to them neither terrifying nor hateful, because they have finished their lives in charity, delighting in me, and filled with goodwill toward their neighbors. The different appearances of his face when he comes in my judgment will not be in him, but in those who are to be judged by him. Let me repeat that one line. The different appearances of his face, of Jesus' face, when he comes in my judgment, will not be in him. In other words, there will be no difference in the Lord's face. But the difference will be in those who are to be judged by him. To the damned, he will appear with just hatred. But to the saved, he will appear with mercy and love. I think it's a lovely insight when we come to really try to grasp what is judgment. I think it's hard to fathom an eternal damnation. And it is hard to fathom that because our correct understanding is a God who is always love, a God who desires us to be with him, a God who aches for all humanity to be saved. And so we ask the question, well then, how could he ever send anyone to hell for eternity? The answer is, he doesn't. Here's a beautiful insight from Peter Kreeft. He's a philosopher, theologian, and he has this to say. In fact, heaven and hell may be the very same objective place. Namely, God's love, experienced oppositely by opposite souls. Just as the same opera or rock concert can be heavenly for you and hellish for the reluctant guest at your side, the fires of hell may be made of the very love of God, experienced as torture by those who hate him. The very light of God's truth, hated and fled from in vain by those who love darkness. Our time here on earth really is an acquiring a taste for heaven. Our entire experience here is learning to delight in heavenly things. It's becoming accustomed to authentic truth, authentic beauty, authentic love. The more in our lifetime, our experience here, we press into that. We don't run away from it. We don't shy from it. But we press into it. And we extend ourselves. And in a very real way, we become a part of it. When we close our eyes in death and we gaze upon the heavenly glory, we want it because our whole life long we've been acquiring a taste for it. Now the flip side is also true. If I experience my whole life running away from truth, annoyed when someone speaks truth to me, when I run away from what is actually beautiful and I engross myself in what is ugly, distorted, think of lust, think of the brokenness of humanity scattered around us. In a very small way, think of white lies, think of gossiping about another person, if I engross myself in what is ugly and I live what is ugly, then when I come to the glory of heaven, I won't want it because I haven't acquired a taste for it. I want to leave you just briefly with this, I think, a very powerful image of what heaven is. I heard heaven is this wonderful wedding feast, using Jesus' own words. And you come to this massive banquet table with all the finest delights put on display. And everyone who comes to that table has in their hand a fork that's too long to feed yourself. A fork that it would be impossible to try to get the food and eat it yourself. And so the only way to delight in the feast which is before you is to learn how to take the food and feed it to the other. And to learn how to open your mouth and in humility receive from the other. And so the difference of those that are in heaven and those that are in hell is simply one thing. Those that are in heaven have learned love. Live by love. Know how to receive love. Those that are in hell, in the same place, don't know how to love. Don't know how to receive love. And so they have that fork, and they have the same feast in front of them, and they're aching to be fed, but can't receive it. God sends nobody to hell. He sends nobody to heaven. All he does is invite you to it. Our task is acquiring the taste for it. I said that was the last thing. I have one last thing. That little room, that little box, looks like a little closet. You may not realize this, but it is a taste of heaven on earth. That little box where confession takes place. I know it may seem like I'm coming to Father Jagger and telling him my sins, but that's not the reality. The reality is Christ waits. And we come before him broken, filled with the weight of our sins, the weight of our conscience. And we spill it before him, and Jesus gazes upon you with love and gives you love. Right there, in this room, in this place, is a foretaste of heaven on earth. A question is, how many of us run to it? How many of us seek after it? Or how many of us run away from there? On this altar, literally, truly, in a few moments, what happens is heaven breaks open this ceiling and descends and is made present in Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. Not figuratively, not as a sign, as a symbol, but truly. How many of us seek after it? How many of us run for it, delight in it, have acquired the taste of heaven? Or how many of us run from it? Or maybe just drift away from it? Or do not bother with it? The way we acquire the taste for heaven is by acquiring it now. Now. In a few moments, as you come before the Blessed Sacrament to receive Jesus and the living Lord in the Eucharist, I think a prayer that all of us can have is simply, Lord, rip open my heart. St. John Paul II said, we have anesthetized hearts. That means we have numb hearts. And we need to pray, Lord, rip open my heart so that I truly long for you, that I truly want you, that I truly become ever more in love with you. Because I promise you, unless it happens in your lifetime, when you close your eyes in death, you will choose your destiny.